Ever wondered how nuclear bombs get where they're going? Not to their targets, but from the factory to the bases where they're stockpiled and deployed. In the early 1980s, activists in Washington State at the Ground Zero Center for Nonviolent Action learned that a special set of railroad cars was delivering nuclear warheads to the naval base Kitsap Bangor for loading onto the then-new Trident ballistic missile submarines. The bombs rode the rails from the Pantex Warhead Assembly Factory in Amarillo, Texas, to bunkers at the Kitsap Bangor Base on Washington's Puget Sound, and to the East Coast Naval Weapons Station in South Carolina. Each train was centered around a few armored cars holding the deadly cargo. Buffer cars and escort cars topped with gun turrets for the security team were added to each end, and you couldn't miss them. They were painted all white to keep the contents cool. They ran the same routes as commercial trains, but no faster than 35 miles an hour, slowing even more when they passed through cities and towns along the way. Ground Zero consulted with railroad buffs and reached out to dozens of peace groups along the likely train routes. Together, the TRACS campaign began to document each shipment with photos and video, sending word down the line to the next group who would alert the local media and protest the doomsday cargo rolling through their town. The Catholic Bishop of Amarillo and the Archbishop of Seattle both endorsed the campaign and enlisted the public support of nearly a dozen other bishops along the TRACS. A Mennonite volunteer from Colorado moved to Amarillo to keep a prayerful watch and alert others when the trains departed, and soon there were vigils greeting the trains in more than 300 communities along the rails between Pantex and the nuclear submarine bases. The nuclear train that left Pantex in late March of 1983 was the first to meet nonviolent resistance. In Colorado, two men were busted trying to stop the train in Denver. 60 miles on in Fort Collins, 8 people, mostly teachers and parents, were cleared from the TRACS and arrested. And 6 more arrests were made when the train confronted 200 people outside the Bangor Gate. Over the next 18 months, 5 such trains each provoked multiple blockades, leading to the arrests of nearly 400 people across 8 states. Several people were jailed for a day or a week, while a few served 2 or more months in jail. When one train tried to avoid protest hotspots and take a longer route over the Rockies to Bangor, it still encountered nonviolent resistors in rural northern Montana at both Conrad, population 2,500, and Whitefish, population 4,000, where dozens had turned out to protest. When the next train to Bangor took the same route, 3 people blocked it in Whitefish. One man was sentenced to 5 days in jail, and furthermore, ordered to report back to jail 24 hours before the next nuclear train came through town, where he would be held until it passed by. By then, the train had been repainted in earth tones to, quoting a 1984 memorandum, make tracking our trains more difficult. But the transport of nuclear warheads by rail was doomed. Trains just can't avoid what or who lies ahead on the TRACS. In the tradition of the Plowshares movement of direct disarmament, that point was hammered home on July 16, 1985, the 40th anniversary of the first atomic bomb test. After proper placement of railroad hazard warnings, Richard Miller used a crowbar to remove 2 rails from the TRACS leading out of Pantex. Miller riddled, "What is the difference between Pantex and Auschwitz?" And answered, "At Auschwitz, the trains carried the people to the crematoria. At Pantex, the trains carried the crematoria to the people." 3 weeks later, in a secret document dated August 6th, Hiroshima Day, 1985, and later released under the Freedom of Information Act, the government confirmed, in all caps, that the nuclear trains would be sidelined. Quote, "In view of the growing anti-nuclear movement in the United States with its apparent focus on the White Death Train." Since then, a custom fleet of tractor-trailer trucks with armed escorts has been hauling doom on the nation's highways. Their appearance in turn sparked the H-bomb truck watch, but that's a story for another day. For now, this has been Jack Cohen-Java for Nuclear Hot Seat, hoping this story from the Nuclear Resistor Archives will inspire your activism today.